Thank God. It is good to be here. I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of Psalms, chapter number 124. Psalm 124. Before I read, let me make a comment or two. In the Bible reading, my personal daily Bible reading recently, I was reading through the Psalms. I read the Bible through, try to read them through every year, and I was reading through the Psalms, and although I've read it many times, on that day, something in this chapter stood out and caught my attention like it had not before. And so I went back and I jotted it down, I underlined it, and then I jotted it down on a notepad that I had, and I thought one of these days I will come back to that if the Lord will help me and give me something to say about it, and I'll preach a sermon from that thought. So here I am. I've come back to that thought. I'm going to read. First of all, let me say this. 124th Psalm is a song written by David, composed by David the king, and it consists of two stanzas. The first stanza is made up of the first five verses, and so let me just share this and I'll read it. It speaks of a danger that somewhere back down the line had Israel had faced, and he is crying out for mercy, and God had given deliverance. Let me read the first five verses. If it not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. David is saying, we were facing a difficult time, and if it had not been the Lord, we would have gone under. We would have been destroyed. And the second stanza is verses 6 through 8. David is giving praise and thanksgiving for coming to the rescue. And let me read it. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And let me share this with you today from that last verse. Our help is from the Lord. I want to preach today from the first line of the first verse when David said, if it had not been the Lord. That's the sermon thought. If it had not been the Lord, he said, we were in a bind, we were in trouble, we were a battle had come against us, and we cried out to you, God, and you spared our lives. And then he says, if it had not been the Lord, we'd have gone under. I want to use that thought. No doubt each one of you this morning could complete that statement. If it had not been the Lord in your life, this could have happened. That could have happened. This could have happened if it had not been the Lord. And so, I don't know the circumstances that Israel was going through at that time or had gone through that David refers to here, but I want to just begin today's sermon by using the nation of Israel as the first thought. Then the history of the nation we find even as you go all the way back to Abraham's time, who is the father of the Hebrew nation. There were times in the history, occasion after occasion, when they were on the brink of extinction, and if it had not been the Lord, they would have perished. I'm going to mention some of those illustrations, give some illustrations in the Bible. When the famine came in the Middle East, in the days of Jacob, and he sent his sons down to Egypt to purchase food when he heard that you could buy food in Egypt. Let me leave this with you. The Bible tells me that if it had not been the Lord placing Joseph in Egypt,
If it had not been the Lord bringing Joseph out of the prison house, where he had been in jail for 13 years for something he had not done. If it had not been for the Lord giving Joseph the interpretation of the king's dream, there would have been no preparation. There would have been no relief. The people were starved. The famine was all over the land. And if it had not been the Lord giving Jacob the interpretation, there would have been no food. Think about it. I read on in the history of the nation of Israel. And it's the same occasion after occasion for the land when Egypt, when the children of Israel were in Egyptian bondage. And it's a difficult time. It seems as if the existence of the nation was hanging by a thread. And we find that Pharaoh was out to destroy the baby boys and do away with the nation while they're down there in bondage. And but for the Lord, God spared them, and they were not destroyed by Pharaoh. And when they were delivered by the hand of Moses and got down to the Red Sea, and as they looked back, here comes Pharaoh's army. They looked to the left, and there are mountains. They looked to the right, there are mountains. They looked ahead of him, and the Red Sea was there, and they hemmed in. No place to go. The armies of Pharaoh coming behind, and it looks like they're going to be defeated. But for the Lord, they would have been wiped out. They got over into the wilderness. And there came a time when there was no food. There was no water, drinkable water. And the enemy came out to fight against them. And they're nothing more than liberated slaves. They don't have an army. They don't have the armament for battle. No food, no water. Everything's going wrong. It seems as if God has forsaken them. But I want you to understand, but for the Lord, they would have perished in the wilderness, but God was with them. Amen. If it had not been the Lord, look what would have happened. I went through so many illustrations as I was preparing for the sermon. When Elijah was faced with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, and they were having a showdown. And Elijah said, "We're going to do something. I want you to agree to it." And the prophets of Baal said, "We'll go along with it." Elijah said, "You offer a sacrifice, and I'll offer a sacrifice. You pray to your God, Baal, and I'll pray to my God, Jehovah. And the God that answers by fire, let him be God." And the prophets of Baal said, we'll accept that. And so he gave them the first opportunity, and you know the story. How did they pray and nothing happened? And Baal is an idol god and he does not hear. And they cut themselves and they get up on the altar and they do all kinds of, they get loud and they do all kinds of things, and no word from God, their God. Elijah offers his sacrifice, and I'm not going through the whole story. But when he got it all prepared, he lifted up his voice and he prayed a prayer and he said, "God, we're yours. Make yourself real." And the Bible said God sent fire down out of heaven and consumed the sacrifice and the altar and the water in the trench and the dust, amen. And there was a real revival. The people of Israel saw that Elijah's God was God. The world today needs to know that God is God. If it had not been the Lord, the nation of Israel would have been swallowed up with idolatry and lost out completely. But for the Lord sending fire on Elijah's sacrifice. When Israel was overrun by Sennacherib, and he came to Samaria and took them away into captivity. And later on, as I mentioned in the Sunday school lesson this morning, when Nebuchadnezzar brought his armies from Babylon and overran the people of Judah and Jerusalem, and took them into captivity in Babylon for 70 long years. I want everyone to understand, during that time it might look as if that God had forsaken them, that God had turned his back on them, and they were yonder in Babylon. But I want everyone to understand, if it had not been for the Lord, there had been many times that Israel would have gone under. But I say this today, but for the Lord, there would be no Israel. Before I hurry along, Israel is God's timepiece. You can mark this down and hold on to it. I don't care how many come against Israel, God is on the side of Israel. And America will do well to stay on the side of Israel. The people that fight against Israel are fighting against God. And so Israel, but for the Lord, Israel would have gone out of existence. There would have been no Israel. And it came to pass, the Bible tells me, as another familiar story, and I'm going to change now, from the nation of Israel, I want to mention the church. The Bible says in the 16th chapter of Matthew that while Jesus was with the disciples in Caesarea Philippi, He was talking to the disciples and He said, I will build my church. What's the rest of it? And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. All hell turned against the church will not destroy the church. Amen. But let me leave something with you. The church has had a struggle. Beginning with the resurrection of Jesus until today, the church has gone through a battle after battle after battle. There were times that it seems as if the church was just, would be extinct. One more move and the church would be gone. There's been some perilous time. Paul said in the last days, there would be that kind of times in the last days. There have been perilous times all the way through the history of the church. But Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And during these 2,000 years, it seems sometimes as if the gates of hell were prevailing. It seems as if the gates of hell had the upper hand. And they would have if it had not been the Lord. I read in the 4th chapter of Mark, Jesus and the disciples, and I preached this the other Sunday. They were in a ship and they were crossing over to the other side of the Galilee, and while they were out there on the waters, a terrible storm came up, and the Bible says that the ship was taking on water and the waves were breaking over the sides of the ship. But I went a little further. I read the next line. Not only was the ship filling up, the Bible says, and the ship was full. One more wave could have taken them under. One more wave could have taken that ship to the bottom of the sea. But thank God, there was not another wave because God is in control. Sometimes you come to the end of yourself. It seems as if you're almost about to go under. And one more wave would surely almost seemingly wash you away. But God is in control. And if you serve Him, that wave will not come. Amen. You've come to the end of yourself. You feel like, well, I can't. Some people say, well, I'm just hanging on. I'm hanging on. God will give you strength to hang on. Praise God. Praise God. But for the Lord, that boat, that ship would have gone down. Hallelujah. I read on. Before leaving for heaven, after His resurrection, Jesus commissioned the church. He said, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Tell everybody the good news, the plan of redemption, the plan of salvation. Because without being born again, no man can see the kingdom of God. No one can enter heaven. No one can be saved. That's important, folks. We're living in a day when people are preaching all kinds of doctrines, but the Bible has not changed. Without being born again, without having our sins covered by the blood, without having our name written down in glory, we cannot make it. But God has made provision that everyone can be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, brother, that is Tommy, that is Billy, that is my wife, that is me, that is Sharon, that's you, that's me. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God, thank God. Praise the name of the Lord. As I was reading that, and he said, go and tell everybody. But then he said something like this. In essence, and this is not written in the Bible. Go tell everybody. And then he says, don't go. Go tell the world. Don't go. Don't go until you go to Jerusalem. And tarry until you be endued with power from on high. Why would Jesus say that? Because he knew that without the anointing of God, without the power of God, without the presence of God, they would never get the job done. They could never get the job done. They needed the Almighty God's anointing upon their lives. And brother, we still do today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. The Bible tells me on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came down in the second chapter of Acts, and how they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and there were cloven tongues like as a fire that came and sat upon each of them, and they all received the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them, because now they're ready to go out and share the gospel. Yes. Amen. Say, Brother Jones, how about those of us that are saved? You have the Spirit of God in your life. Everybody that is saved can witness. But oh, we need the anointing to go out. We're facing an evil world. We're facing a hard world. And only the Word of God can break it. The Word of God, the Bible says in the Old Testament, is like a hammer. And it keeps on pounding. And keeps on pounding. No one can break the Word of God, but the hammer, the Bible said, the Word of God can break a heart. Somebody said, Brother Jones, I don't believe the Bible. That doesn't change the Bible at all. When Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, I want you to mark this down. And make it real in your life. When Satan comes against us, when the world, whoever, comes against us, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. I thought of a story, and I'd like to leave it with you. Let me mention the 12th chapter of Acts first. Listen to what happened in the persecution of the church. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. He thought that if he could get rid of the leaders, he would destroy the church. But for the Lord. I want to tell you a story of history. The past two centuries, the 19th and 20th century, God blessed America with a holiness revival. And during the 19th and maybe even the 18th century, America began to send missionaries around the world, more than any nation in the world. At the close of the 19th century and the beginning of last century, there was a real revival in the nation of China. Missionaries were having great success. People were listening to the gospel. They were getting saved by the thousands and the multiplied thousands. The church was progressing. And then came the Second World War. If you're not familiar with history, Japanese went into China, ran all the missionaries out of China. Captured some, tortured some, even killed some. And one missionary and his wife, that missionary has been in our home and spent some time. His wife was ravished by the Japanese. It destroyed her mind what they did to her. And rather than her and her husband being able to continue the missions ministry in China, they'd been brought out of China, brought to Japan. And she was ravished in such a way she lost her mind, and he brought her back home to South Carolina and had to put her in an institution. He stayed in the ministry. He stayed as the leader of the missions department of the entire denomination. He spent some time in our home in Arizona as he was getting old. There came a time in Brother Turner's life. He'd been 25 years he'd been in China. God blessed him. Souls were saved. A lot of testimonies then. Here he is back in the States and no longer able to go to China, and his wife at home in a nursing home or in an asylum. He did all that he could, and when he got older, had to retire from the ministry, he went back to South Carolina. Came down with a disease, a sickness, affliction. This is a true story. His name is W.H. Turner. I got some of his books. He's been in my house with my wife and I. As he was on his sick bed the last years of his life, God reached over to that nursing home, to that asylum, touched Sister Turner, restored her mind. She came out of there. She went home and took care of him till he died. We are serving a big God. But for the Lord, but for the Lord, she would have died in the state. He would have died without his wife ever being a wife to him again. But for the Lord, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that David said, if it had not been the Lord, if it had not been the Lord, and he began to say other things, I say today, I thank God that the Lord came on the scene. I got the rest of the story to tell you. After the Second World War, just a few short years, a man by the name of Mao Zedong became the leader of China. He decided we're going to get rid of the church and we're going to get rid of every Bible. They confiscated the Bibles and made it a law. You cannot have a Bible in China. Communism. And so he wrote a little book, small, Communist Teachings. Passed it out to all the young people to bring the children up in communism. Communism will rule the world. Mao Zedong had a little book and it had a red cover. They called it Mao's Little Red Book. Confiscated the Bibles. The church had to go underground. But they were not defeated. They read the Bible. They read that Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Whether it's Mao Zedong, whether it's Voltaire the atheist, whether it's the devil himself, the church is going over. Hallelujah. The church went underground. They developed a printing press of their own. They printed Bibles, guess what size they were? Just about that large. Guess what color they had for the back and the front? Red. They passed them out. Children reading the little red book. Communism thought we're going to get them all. We're going to get them all. And they're reading the Bible. And a great revival has continued. And I can share with you this morning, and we've got books in the library, about people that have come from that persecuted church in China. The church in China is the most pure church in the world. What do you mean, Brother Jones? Because of such persecution, if you're going to serve God, you better serve God. Don't say you're a Christian and don't live right. They'll kill you and you'll end up in hell. That would be dumb. That's about as plain as I can get. If you're going to be a Christian in China, you've got to be a Christian. And these little red books that the church brought out that was the Bible has brought about revival. And even today, there's revival, although missionaries are unable to go again, no longer, not even in India as well. No more missionaries can go to India with over 1 billion people there and over 1 billion people in China. And it seems like the doors are shut. Listen closely. God is still. He said, I will open a door and no man can shut it. Amen. Amen. And revival is breaking out. We are supporting 16 native missionaries that go to Bible school in India and in that part of the world. Every month we give $30 apiece for 16 of them to go to Bible school. And when they come out of Bible school, they go out to evangelize and to pass out Bibles and establish churches. I want you to know God is still in control. If it had not been for God, there would be no church in China. But there is a God on the throne today. Hallelujah. And the church is thriving. Amen. Then I thought, yes, the church, we're going over. And then I thought about America. And I'll be very brief here. I liked history, but when I was in high school, and the few college courses that I took, I liked history, but I was the type of person that I liked it, I'd study it, I'd get a passing grade, and next month, don't ask me. That's the way I was. But maybe you've read about the American Revolution. It was a Christmas Eve night when it looked as if the forces of America were doomed for destruction. No independence. George Washington, and you know the story, got in the ship with his men. Terrible conditions, a raging storm. Christmas Eve night, 1776. George Washington and his men started across the Delaware. And you know the rest of the story. Surprised as it was, God gave them victory. And from there on out, it seemed like everything was going America's way. Listen closely to what I tell you. If it had not been the Lord, there would be a different story for America. Read what our founding father said. We've got people today that are secularists, don't want to give God any credit. I want you to read up from Thomas Jefferson and Samuel Adams and Benjamin Franklin and the rest. Read what they said about God. They believed that it was God that helped us to get established as a nation, and without God it would never work. But for the Lord, we ought to say thank God today that the Lord has helped us. And I'll come to the last part of the sermon. If it had not been the Lord, I want to bring it down to you and me individually. I thought so many things, and I'm not going to try to relate them all. And I've said this, and I don't say it proudly. I say it shamefully. I went back on God when I got away from home. And if it had not been God, I would have been in hell today. While I was out here praying yesterday afternoon, I think sometimes we don't take that seriously enough. I was sitting right there praying, and thought came to me, hell, torment, forever and forever and forever, and no hope. Sometimes people don't realize the seriousness of it. And to play around with a soul, they don't serve God, and they act as if, well, if I die, I'm going to heaven. Listen closely. Hell is forever. And the more I thought about it, and my own relatives, my own family members, the more I thought about it, Jesus don't want any of them to go to hell. Help me as being a member of the Jones family. I don't want any of my relatives to go to hell, and I might just share it with you. I don't want any of yours to go there either. And if it had not been for the Lord, Brother Lou, having listened to your testimony as we visited with you, you're here this morning by the mercies of God. If it had not been for the Lord, Danny, you would have died on that an operating table. Maybe you'd have never gotten a new heart if it had not been for God. And David said, if it had not been the Lord that was on our side, and I can't say it that way, but I can say, if it had not been the Lord with His eyes on us, I wasn't on His side. But I'm so glad that He was looking out. Even when we were lost and undone, and I want to try to conclude or end the sermon, and we're going to have a time of prayer, but I want you to think about it this morning. If it had not been God, if it had not been the Lord that came along where you were and lifted you up or did something for you, if the Lord had not forgiven you, if the Lord had not sent the Spirit to knock at your heart's door, if no one invited you to church, if no one, the Holy Ghost never knocked at your heart's door and begged you to come to the Lord, if it had not been for the Lord, where would you be? And the more I think about that, if it had not been the Lord, if it had not been the Lord, no forgiveness, no mercy, nothing, no salvation, not a member of the family of God, lost and undone. Every one of us on our way to hell, no hope out there, nothing out there, but for the Lord, but for the Lord, but for the Lord. And I'm going to leave you this morning. We're going to pray. Come on to the piano, honey, if you will. We're going to sing, "He Paid a Debt." We're going to pray in a moment, but I want to leave this with you. Think about it. As you come and make your way to the altar, as we close out the service today, as we think about what is in store out there, if it had not been the Lord. Could you finish that sentence right now in your own life? Something in your life, if it had not been the Lord. If it had not been the Lord. I mentioned Mike's healing briefly in the Sunday school class. If it had not been the Lord, we would have buried him at the age of 3. Tom was healed the first week of his life, born on Monday, healed on Saturday. And I was in the lab when he was healed. Because the lab technician was looking through the microscope or whatever it was and said, "His blood is changing. Come here, sir. Look at this mic. His blood was changing. God healed my baby son, Tom, when he's 5 days old." And she was showing me it's taking place right now. She called the doctor. She had the doctor on the phone to tell him everything's, tell him what's happening. If it had not been the Lord. And over and over and over and over again. If it had not been the Lord, you and I today would have no hope. We ought to, today, we ought to thank God. If you've ever thanked God, you ought to thank Him this morning. If it had not been the Lord, we would have no hope. Would you stand together with me?